Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome to the show, everybody. What a night at the Wasco Center last night. The University of Miami in a high-scoring affair, defeating Virginia Tech by a score of 92-83. Welcome to the show. Nigel Pack writes his name all over the headlines with 17 points, 17 of Miami's 19 points in about a six-minute flurry. One of the most dramatic flurries I think you've ever seen at the Wasco Center. At any rate, joining us right now, University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. Coach L, congratulations. What a performance last night, not only by Nigel, but by everybody.
Yeah, that was a great and exciting game for the players, the coaches, the fans, everybody that watched it on TV or listened to you on the radio, Joe. Nigel's 17 points in 5 minutes, I think, is the most I've ever seen one of my players in my entire career. I've never seen anybody score that many points in such a short period of time. And he did it after he'd gone scoreless in the first half, scoreless in the first 10 minutes of the second half, and then all of a sudden, boom, exploded. 17 points in 5 minutes to lead us on to victory.
I mean, you know he's a great shooter. Did you have any idea he's capable of an explosion like that? And what do you think ignited it?
Yeah, well, first of all, yes, last year when he was at Kansas State, he had that kind of explosion against Kansas. He had like 34 or 36 points against the Kansas Jayhawks, and we all know how good they were last year winning the national championship. So I knew he was very capable. Now, one thing that people have to understand about a player like Nigel Pack, when you've spent most of your career playing the two-guard spot, where you're really just concentrating on your shooting, it's a real challenge to swing over to the point guard position and now quarterback the team. And when you quarterback a team, you're not only doing it on offense, you're doing it on defense. So he was responsible for guarding Sean Padula. And let me tell you something, that's a major challenge because Padula is an excellent point guard, shooter, defender, just a terrific all-around player and a hard matchup. And then Nigel was responsible for getting everybody else involved, and boy, did he get him involved in the first half. I think Isaiah Wong had 16 at halftime. Jordan Miller had a terrific first half. And Norshad Omir had a great first and second half with 21 points and 8 rebounds. So Nigel did more than his share. And Bensley Joseph came in and rested him in the first half. So Nigel had a lot of energy left in him to do what he did in the last 10 minutes.
I think there were a couple of other things also. Your players did a really good job of getting him the ball when he was hot. And in transition, there were a couple of possessions on his three-pointers where your team really moved the ball very well to get it over to him in a place where he could make the shot, except for one where he's like headed for the first row of the seats.
Yeah, and I think one of the guys that's responsible for that is Jordan Miller. He is playing so good, Joe. Yeah. It's hard to like measure the impact he's having on games in so many different areas. His defense, his rebounding, his scoring, his assists, his steals. He's he's a very unique all-around player. And we're going to him more and more. Not so much that he's going to score a lot more, but he's just going to have the ball in his hands a lot more to make decisions, because he's doing a terrific job of that.
Yeah, I was thinking about him on my way home last night of, gee, I need to come up with another word to describe him. I've used clever quite a bit, but I think maybe savvy falls. He falls under the category of savvy. He is a very savvy player.
He's savvy. He's clever. He's a Bruce Brown type, a jackknife. What's the Swiss Army knife type guy that's good for everything? So last night he led the break through a beautiful bounce pass to Nigel for a three. On the fast break, he outran his man, caught a lob from Wooga Poplo, which was a terrific play. He's doing so much so well right now. I'm just very happy for him.
Well, for a long time of that game, it was hard to slow down Virginia Tech. Eventually, I think they missed their last six shots, but did it become a case of trying to get multiple defensive stops, or was it just, we guys got to outscore these guys?
Well, at a timeout, we were already behind 16-8, and the coaches are saying, man, we need stops. And I said, hey, we need to score. These guys are going to score. They just hit four NBA threes. I don't know how we're stopping those. All right? If a guy is willing to shoot and can make from outside of the three-point circle by 10 feet, you know, you're saying to yourself, that's not even a good shot for most players. But those guys, Virginia Tech is an outstanding shooting team. Padula can make long-distance threes. Basile can make long-distance three. And the captain of that team, the leader, the go-to guy is Hunter Gotore. And when he was out of their lineup, I think they lost like four or five or six games in a row.
Yeah.
And now that he's back in the lineup, they've won two of their last three. Last night, you know, came down to the last 2 minutes. And we did a good job. We scored 92 points. We had a bunch of guys in double figures. We had 18 assists. And we even out-rebounded them, Joe, which is, I think, a first in a long time.
27-21. Couture played 39 minutes. Padula, who I think his role is to get under everybody's skin, played 40 minutes in the game. So those two logged heavy minutes last night.
Yeah, minutes right now are precious. You know, one of the things Virginia Tech did, they played three different centers.
Yeah.
I'll call Justice Mutz a center for right now, even though sometimes he's the four man. And then they played Lynn Kidd, who was terrific, and then they played Poteet, who was like 6'9", 265. He's a humongous guy.
Yeah.
And so they just kept fresh bodies battling Norshad Omir, who's our 1'6", 7" guy. Mm. So they went 6'9", 6'11". And Norshad had to guard them all. Now, one thing that happened, Norshad got in a little bit of foul trouble, and we were able to use A.J. Casey and Anthony Walker, and those guys both did a good job. They handled the defensive end pretty good, and they were very solid on offense. And, you know, we didn't fall behind when they were in the game, and we ended up still leading at the half 45-44.
Yeah, Norchad, I thought Norchad was great. 21 points, that's his season high, equals a season high, and also, of course, a season high in conference play. But I thought he was relentless last night.
Well, you know, he only had 8 rebounds, which is below his average. Yeah. But someone asked me why. I said, because nobody missed any shots. We shot at a very high rate. Virginia Tech shot at a very high rate. You know, someone told me after the game, Joe, it's the first team all season long throughout the NCAA, 360 teams. There's not been a single team other than Virginia Tech last night that shot over 50% overall, over 40% from three, and 90% from the foul line, and still lost the game.
Wow, yeah.
So there's an expression, you know, most colleges, I don't think, even talk about this, but there's some NBA guys, the very best of the best. They call them 180 guys, where you combine your two-point shooting percentage with your three-point shooting percentage with your free throw percentage. So, for example, if you shoot 80% from the foul line and 55% from two and 45% from three, you're a 180 guy. And there's only a few guys. I only know of a couple myself. Michael Jordan was a 180 guy. Dirk Nowitzki was a 180 guy. And I don't know how many others are in NBA history to be 180 guys, but that's hard to do and nearly impossible for a team to do.
Yeah. Wait a minute, Sheldon Mack was close to it when he played for you, right?
Yeah, Sheldon Mack was a 180 guy here. No, he accomplished that.
Yeah.
At the college level. I was talking about the NBA, about Jordan and Nowitzki, but
yeah,
at the college level, I don't know how many guys have done it, but Sheldon McClellan shot, I think, 55% from 42% from three, and then like 84, 85% from the foul line.
I don't want to get too far down the road without saluting your crowd again last night. Down the stretch, they were amazing.
I can't thank the fans and the students enough, because we go on the road. You've been there, Joe. You saw what Pittsburgh was like. What'd they do, a yellow out or something, wasn't it? And then when we went to NC State, it was a white out. We went to Duke, the place was like berserk.
Yeah, Pittsburgh had their biggest crowd of the year, 12,500. I think it was the biggest crowd they've had in many years, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and they got treated to a very exciting game.
Yeah.
The only problem with it is we lost.
Yeah.
And we had an 8-point lead with 2 minutes to go, like we did last night. Last night we were able to execute and end up winning by nine. At their place, we turned the ball over and missed some shots, and we're not able to stop them down the stretch, and they came away with the win.
So is that something that you reflect on with your team here going forward? Because all these games seem to be coming down to the final couple of minutes, and sometimes people will grab on to the negative side of that, but there have been plenty of positives in the tight games this year.
Well, I think, you know, everybody can look at the most recent games and they'll focus on that, or the last few games. But for me, I've got to look at the big picture, the whole season. And if you go back, Joe, you're there all the time, so you know this. If you go back to the beginning of the season, do you remember when we played Central Florida at Central Florida on the road?
Yeah. Right, came down to the last play.
What was the final score?
Well, they missed a free throw at the end. The ball ricocheted out of bounds, so there's a 1-point game.
We won by two.
Two, yeah.
Yeah. And then you look at the next one. We played Cornell. We won by two. We played Virginia. We won by two. You know, these games, you know, you'll win some and lose some. Last year, we were terrific at the end of games. I think we played in 17 games that were decided in the last minute and some on the last possession. We didn't win them all, but we were 12-5 in those games. We played 17, like, one-possession games and won 12 of the 17. All right? Now, you can point out to the five we lost and say, oh, you should have won those. Yeah, that's we would love to have won those. And this year, we won our share in December. And, you know, we didn't win quite as many in January, but we did win last night. And even though that wasn't a 2-point win, you know it was a 2-point game with 2 minutes to go. It's hard to pull away from teams like Virginia Tech because they're so explosive offensively.
Well, that was a hard January. There were a lot of road games in there, and that's back and forth. And of course, in the middle of this, the last road trip was a three-game road trip with staying on the road for two of them, playing in hostile environments. That's kind of what the ACC is. That's it's a grind. You have to be mentally, physically, and I guess spiritually ready to grind through what this league throws at you.
Yeah. We played nine games in January or right after Christmas, start with Notre Dame December 30th. Six of them were on the road.
Yeah.
We won at Notre Dame, and then we won at home against Boston College, Syracuse, and Virginia Tech. We also won on the road at Florida State, and that game we won by the largest margin of victory in the series between Miami and Florida State. So we had some nice road wins. We had some tough road losses, losing at NC State by two, losing to Duke by two, and then losing to Pittsburgh by three. Just tough ACC basketball.
How proud were you of your team's ability to move forward? You mentioned, you know, Pittsburgh was a tough day. Saturday was a tough night, tough flight home and all that. Not a lot of time to turn around, but didn't appear that your team was licking their wounds. They were ready to compete last night.
Yeah, and I spoke to the team about it on Sunday. And a lot of times we'll do either a very brief practice or a walkthrough. We didn't even do that. Now, I knew the guys were exhausted. We played our heart and souls out on Saturday. I just told them, I feel bad, you know, today, but we're going to take the day off and come back on Monday and go back to work, and we'll be excited about playing the next one. That the ACC regular season is a marathon, and we ran a bad mile. We were going through the up and down hills of a marathon, and now we got to get back. We're at home. Let's play great on Tuesday. Hey, Joe, looking just a moment forward, we got to play Clemson on Saturday and Duke on Monday. We can't even take Sunday off even if I wanted to.
I know. Yeah, right.
So these games, unlike football where you play basically every Saturday for 12 weeks, in basketball we play two or three games. We had one stretch where we had three games in 6 days, and then we had a stretch where we had – no games for 20 days.
Yeah, this will be the fourth straight week on the road on a Saturday. 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Away from home on a Saturday.
Well, hopefully we can play really well and finish strong. Finishing strong is going to be a big key because I think we're good enough to be in the game. That the opponent on their home court has that fan base cheering for them. The Clemson game is already sold out.
Yeah.
Our Duke game, no one's told me this, but I'm guessing it'll be sold out. So these next two games are going to be in front of packed houses, one on the road and one at home. So we'd like to play at our best this Saturday and Monday.
Hurricanes are 17-5 overall. 8-4 in conference play. So far, I think you've built a really strong resume. Those are pretty good numbers, you know, here in the second half of the season.
Well, again, we played 12 conference games. We've got 20 total to play. If you ask anybody in the league what would get you into the NCAA tournament, in most years, it would be 500.
Yeah.
If you go 10-10, you're going to get in the dance. But last year, the league took such a hit to its reputation that we had Virginia and Wake Forest both have one of them had 14 wins and the other had 13 and still didn't get in the dance. So our work is not nearly done. We've got to have a very good February and March. Oh, we've got some big games in this next month. We got Pittsburgh coming back to our place. The last game of the season is March 4th. All right? Our game against Clemson this Saturday is February 4th. So we've got 1 month left, 8 games left, and then the ACC tournament. Where do we go, Joe, for the ACC tournament? We back in Greensboro?
Back in Greensboro. Last time we went to Greensboro, the world shut down.
Yeah. That was fun.
I'm hoping for a better result this time.
COVID. Yeah, I didn't mean fun.
Yeah.
That's not exactly the way to say that. That was miserable.
Yeah, it was. Oh. We went to Greensboro, then I don't think I saw you for a year.
Yeah, right.
Crazy.
Oh, man.
But right now, college basketball seems to be thriving. Games have been great. Competition's been great. ACC has some big games tonight. Carolina and Duke will play on Saturday, so you'll get Duke after they play Carolina. And, you know, that's always an emotional game for them. They play on Saturday, I think it's 6 o'clock. Clemson went up to Boston last night, and again, showing how hard it is to win on the road, Clemson got tripped up in Chestnut Hill.
Yeah, in a low-scoring affair. I was surprised, but the score was 62-54, and Clemson is obviously a much better offensive team than that, but they did not have the night shooting that they normally do. They only shot 30% from the game and 28% from three. They did make 16 out of 16 free throws. They out-rebounded Boston College. But they turned the ball over a bunch. They had 16 turnovers, which is basically five more than they average. So they had an off night. I'd compare that to our Georgia Tech night, you know, where you play, you know, well enough to win, but you don't win because you don't finish as well as you know you're capable. Mm-hmm. And Clemson is, you know, they're in the top 25 now. They're sitting atop of the ACC. Virginia Tech this Saturday too, Joe.
That's right.
Virginia Tech is going to be awfully hungry for another win. Virginia's trying to stay atop of the league. So a lot of great battles, a lot of great basketball tonight, Saturday, and then next week.
When you have a win like last night and a flurry like you had with Nigel Pack, with the excitement, the intensity, the way your team battled and fought and all of those things, do you believe there's a carry? I know you probably hope so, but in your experience, is there a carryover effect for the team in terms of how they grow from a game like last night?
Well, certainly they felt good after the game and felt, you know, really excited. The way the game ended with Nigel putting on that performance with Norshad Omir blocking Mutz's dunk attempt, and then Wooga Papa dunking it to end the game. A lot of big plays. It makes you feel good for a couple of days. But the thing about it is now you're getting ready for a different opponent, a different style of play, different coaching style. And I've coached against Brad Brownell, it seems like forever. My 12 years in the ACC, but also a half a dozen years in the CAA when he was the head coach of Wilmington and my staff and I were at George Mason. So, you know, you coach against someone for nearly 20 years, you know, you know each other very well. And I know Coach Brownell is going to have a great game plan. Hopefully my staff and I can do the same. And then it's going to be up to the players to execute that game plan. And they're going to have a great crowd behind them. And we're going to go there with a great mindset coming off of a quality win over Virginia Tech at home last night.
Okay, we're going to talk more about Clemson. That game is at 3 o'clock on Saturday here on QAM. We'll be on the air at 2:30 in the afternoon for Miami and Clemson from Little John Arena. We'll talk more about the Tigers and the University of Miami. First, one of our favorite topics. I know Coach L loves Ed Williamson and Carol Williamson. They sit right there on the baseline. Thrilled to watch Wooga Poplar slammed that ball through last night with an exclamation point to finish the game. And let me talk to you about Williamson Buick GMC. You can get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle in a new Buick from Williamson Buick GMC. New Buicks are arriving every single day over at Williamson. So what does that mean to you? It means that at Williamson Buick GMC, they're going to have the new Buick that you're looking for. Perhaps you might be interested in the Buick Encore. The Buick Encore, five-person SUV. It has style. It's got performance. It has technology. Everybody loves technology. It has technology that's out of this world. It's perfectly sized to handle whatever life throws at you. Or how about the new Buick Enclave? The Buick Enclave got an exciting new look. It brings together the ideas of a family vehicle and luxury. To get your new Buick, visit Williamson's beautiful facility. It's easy to find. US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. You can also go online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience the new Buick from your premier Buick dealership, Williamson Buick GMC. Williamson is Miami.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, back on the show, everybody. Miami and Clemson on Saturday, and we'll have that game for you on QAM at 2:30 in the afternoon with a tip-off at 3 o'clock with Hurricanes head coach Jim Larrañaga. Coach, Clemson's had a great season. They are in first place inside the league. However, they suffered some tough losses at the beginning of the year, and a lot of people think it's they're fighting for their tournament lives, even though right now they sit on top of the league.
Yeah, I don't look at who's going to get in and who's not until March. I think where you stand in March is more important than, you know, how you're, you know, preseason ranking or where you're ranked in December, January. You know, you got to keep playing hard and well and win as many games against quad one and quad two teams. And quad one is basically the top 30 teams in the country. Quad two is that next group, maybe top 75 from 30 to 75. So if you win games in that category, like some of our biggest wins already, Joe, it was the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Rutgers is having a great season. and they've won some very important, high-quality games, and we beat them on our home court in the challenge. So that's a really big win. Providence is having a great season. My alma mater is in the Big East Challenge, trying to win that regular season. We beat them. So some of our non-conference wins, Central Florida was a huge win for us. So we have some really good quality non-conference wins. But all of those aside, all we care about, all we're focused on right now is getting ready for Clemson.
It's likely that when you play Clemson, somebody named Hunter is going to score.
Their leading scorer is Hunter Tyson. Their second leading scorer is Chase Hunter.
Correct.
So they're in the hunt no matter what.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. I was hoping that one of these guys would leave at some point. It does get confusing. Hunter Tyson, 16 points a game. Chase Hunter, 14 points a game. P.J. Hall has hit some big shots for them during his career. He's been there for a long time.
Well, here's the thing. Brevin Galloway is their normal starting two guard. He's missed the last two games. So I don't know if he's going to play on Saturday or not. So Hemingway is a guy who's, averaging over 30 minutes a game. So he's likely to be in the starting lineup with Hunter Tyson, who's a player of the year candidate, Chase Hunter, who's their point guard, PJ Hall, who's their big man inside at 6'11", and then Hemingway. Shefflin is their power forward. He's had some terrific games for them. And then they got a host of other guys who can either fill in at the two guard spot, or they can go even bigger and move Hunter Tyson to the two guard spot and go with another big guy. I'm not sure what they'll do on Saturday, but we got to be ready for both.
Yeah. This kid, Ian Shefflin, is a tricky player. He seems to be in the right spot at the right time.
Yeah. And at his size, no, he's a big guy, 6'7", 225, and he's clever. You know how we talked about Jordan Miller being clever, being savvy? I think Shefflin is the same way. He's got a good team approach to things. He's a good receiver. He's a good passer. He can score in around the basket. And, again, he gives them size. One of the things about us, Joe, that you can see it every night, we're just not that tall.
Yeah.
No, Norshad is 6'7". Jordan Miller probably 6'6". Wooga Poplar 6'4". And they're always matched up with guys. Wooga guards probably Hunter Tyson, who's 6'8". And Norshad will have to guard Hall, who I think he's like a 7-footer. But they list him at 6'10". He seems like to play very, very big. So I like their team. I think Brad Brownell is doing a great job of coaching them. They're sitting in first place. They got a lot of balance, four guys in double figures, and then another guy averaging 9. So they're shooting the three ball very well. Hemingway is shooting it really well. And so is Hunter Tyson. Hunter Tyson's shooting at like 42%. And Hemingway is shooting like 49% from three.
Yeah, and Brad Brownell has been there for a long time. So that's allowed him to build his culture, much like you have your culture. And I think when you have that kind of longevity and you build a culture like you have, which is always one that's good to be around, I think it's very attractive to players. You see how it's worked incorporating Norchad and Nigel Pack to come in to be around players who I think have common traits. Then I think a lot of guys probably look for that in a culture, right?
Oh, for sure, Joe. And, one of the things that I love is I think the athletic department at the University of Miami is really terrific. You know, we've got a lot of great sports, a lot of great coaches. And I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be, I think, a surprise to the members of the team. But if you know Andy Kershaw, he's our swimming coach.
Yeah.
He's a terrific guy. He's been very supportive of us. And they have practice tomorrow. They didn't have practice today, but Randy Abelman and Andy Kershaw, their coaches, I'm going to go by and say hello to them because they've been very, very nice to us. We had a recruit in not long ago, and Andy came by and said some nice things about the University of Miami and our basketball program. So I want to be sure we're supporting them. So tomorrow about 2 o'clock, I'll be going over and hopefully meet the members of the swim and the women's swim team and the diving team.
Randy Abelman, he's one of the great swim coaches of all time. Been to the Olympics, coached numerous Olympians, Hurricane through and through. And Andy Kershaw has been on our show several times, and he's a real up-and-coming star in that business.
Yeah. I think Randy's coached like 176 Olympians. Some ridiculous number like that. Yeah. I mean, the guy's a legend. So, and I don't get a chance, you know. I went over and watched one of their practices for a short while, but my schedule is so busy, Joe. It's hard to break away and be as supportive as we'd like to be. But I'm hoping tomorrow I'm going to get that chance. Get over there at 2 o'clock for a little while. But I have a press conference at 1:30. We got practice like at 2:45. So, and my coaches and I got to get ready for Clemson. We're going to be busy at it tomorrow all day.
Have you at any time in your career, maybe during an off season, analyzed another coach from another sport that was successful, maybe to see if you could incorporate any of their ideas into your own coaching pattern?
Oh, one of my great memories at Bowling Green State University was hanging out and talking sports with the head hockey coach, a gentleman by the name of Jerry York. He was the head coach of Bowling Green, won a national championship in hockey. And then he left Bowling Green and went to Boston College. He retired this year as the winningest coach in college hockey history. He is a legend. He is the Coach K of college hockey. And he's a dear friend of mine. And we used to talk about the difference in hockey and basketball was the speed of the game. How can you get where you outnumber the opponent? You know, how do you create fast breaks? And we were doing a lot of scrambling back then, trapping and forcing turnovers. And Jerry and I talked about it one night, if he could do it in hockey, just double team the puck, see if you can make the guy make a mistake, steal it, and then go in either one-on-one or two-on-one against the goalie. And I would talk to him about how do you share the puck so well? How do you move the puck? What is the mentality of your players? And what is the expression in basketball we use when I don't get the assist, but I get the pass that leads to the assist?
Hockey assist.
The hockey assist.
Yeah.
And that's what Jerry and I always talked about. Yeah, you have to have guys who are very willing passers. That's why I said last night after our win, we love it when we get 16 assists or more. Last night we had 18. Because when you get a lot of assists, it means you're probably getting a lot of hockey assists as well.
Yeah. Well, on the lines of fast breaks, you also had 22 fast break points to their four.
Yeah, and that's our game. You know, we're at our best when we get to the open court, make some simple passes, make some simple shots. Virginia Tech's strength is half-court offense, moving that ball. In fact, we told the team, Joe, leading up to the game, they'll run like what we would call a set play. And if that breaks down and they don't get a good shot, they'll move right into a second action or a second play, a third action, even within one possession. So they might get a shot in the first 10 seconds. Not there. Let's keep it going. Next 10 seconds, run a different play. And then the last 10 seconds, let's be sure we get a good shot. And they do that so well. That's why they score so many points and shoot such a great percentage. That to combat that, we had to score our brains out, and we did. Yeah. 92 points. So
yeah, the most that they've given up this
year. More than 2 points a minute.
Yeah, yeah, the most they've given up this year. They've been they were the third best defense in the league. It's 66 points a game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Virginia and Virginia Tech are two of the top teams in guarding. Clemson is also a terrific defensive team.
We mentioned, or you mentioned earlier, and I thought I'd bounce back to this real quick. He played a lot. He played quite a bit last night for you, and I thought, as you talked about in the first segment, really was like a glue player for you. Bensley Joseph, 9 points, and you know, maybe your team was wobbled a little bit there. He hit a three, and then he stole the inbounds pass, and I thought he brought some calmness to your team last night.
Well, actually, how I would describe it, Joe, is his relentless defense on Padula made us, he was the catalyst of creating some havoc on the court and then quarterback the team for a while, setting everybody else up, which ended up leading it, getting it back to him to make the shot. He had a great, great first half. And a very solid game overall. And we need him. I consider him a starter. He doesn't start the game, but he's almost always in at the end of the first half and the end of the game. He's having a very, very good sophomore season.
Yeah. Do you sometimes have to remind players what you just said? That because everybody wants to score and everybody wants to start and play, but sometimes they're on the floor at the end of the game, which is also a pretty important role.
Well, look at last night. One of the reasons Wooga Poplar has been not only in the starting lineup, but playing major minutes is because his defense has allowed us to put him on a Hunter Gator and make Hunter work. He guarded Elliott from Pittsburgh. He's getting the assignment of often guarding the other team's best player. And he's going to have the assignment of guarding Hunter Tyson on Saturday. So he's maturing. His game is getting better and better. And, Joe, I just told them in a text message, I think his offensive game is about to explode too. Because his pull-up jump shot, is major league. Now, he hasn't made a lot of them yet. He's made a few, but I think when he gets comfortable constantly looking for that shot, thinking about getting that shot, he's going to get it. He's going to make it.
Well, you mentioned his defense. He had a contest on Couture last night where he went flying across the floor and got his hand up. And I think forced the miss. I thought it was great hustle and athleticism. He went soaring across the floor. Clemson's on Saturday. Then Duke is here on Monday. We touched on it a little bit. Again, it's another short turnaround. How do you handle that coming up?
Yeah, that one's more difficult because we played Virginia Tech on a Tuesday, so we were able to take Sunday off. And Sunday off meant rest, recover, get rejuvenated. This time, you know, we can't take Sunday off because we play on Monday. The only good part about it is we've already played Duke once.
Right.
So our players know what Duke is all about. They know their personnel. They know their style of play. So Sunday will be a review day. It won't be introducing them to Duke. Tomorrow is introducing Clemson to our team. because a lot of our guys don't know these guys. So they, you know, like Galloway, even though I don't think he's going to play, or, you know, he's missed the last two games. Galloway is a transfer who transferred from College of Charleston to Boston College to Clemson. This is his third school. Now, he's done after this year, but, you know, Charlie Moore played at four different colleges.
Yeah.
It's the way college basketball is now. And he was having a great impact for Clemson until he missed the last couple of games. And one game they had to come from behind to beat Florida State. And the second game they lost to Boston College. So he obviously has a major impact. He's averaging double figures, plays 30 minutes a game. He's shooting 44% from the field. Oh, key players, if they're out, then it makes the coach's job more difficult.
There's a big game coming up that kind of affects University of Miami in the standings, Pittsburgh and North Carolina. That could be a track meet.
Well, I'm getting ready to watch that at 7 o'clock. When I turn it on, I'm going to be watching more of North Carolina because we just finished playing Pitt, and I know them already very well. I've watched Carolina back in December, but back then I don't think they had found their niche yet. They're starting to play much better, and now they're running their offense through Bayko. You know, they are now 7-3, just one game ahead of us. Their schedule they've won six out of their last seven. Their only loss was at Virginia, so it's a big home game for them, because Pittsburgh is basically tied with them. Pittsburgh is 8-3. Carolina's 7-3. If Carolina wins, they go to 8-3, and Pittsburgh falls to 8-4, tied with us. Oh, Carolina's team statistically has a lot of weapons. Baycott is averaging 18 a game. R.J. Davis, 16. Caleb Love, 16. And Nance, 11 points a game. And then, of course, they got Leaky Black. They got Puff Johnson. They were preseason number one in the country. And now they're fighting to get out of fourth place and move into third place and try to catch Virginia and Clemson. I'm sure they're going to be cheering for us this Saturday.
Yeah. Yep.
And they'll be cheering for Virginia Tech to beat Virginia, because if Carolina wins, they have to beat Pittsburgh. That's a loss for them. If Virginia were to lose and Clemson were to lose, Carolina would be tied at the top spot and be back thinking about a regular season championship.
Well, you're right there, again, fighting for that double bye, just like last year, with important games coming up. Saturday, Clemson, then on Monday, home against Duke. And actually, next week will be fun because you get back-to-back home games, Duke and Louisville, on a Monday and a Saturday. So the schedule kind of shifts a little bit toward home, and that'll be good for the University of Miami. So it's Clemson, Duke, and Louisville all coming up, with two out of those three being at home. Coach, as always, great pleasure. Wild game last night, great crowd, and most importantly, great finish for the Hurricanes.
Well, thanks, Joe. I just got to say the fans have been great. I hope they pack the house against Duke and Louisville next week.
All right, I'll see you on Friday when we get on the bus to go to Clemson.
Okay, see you, Joe.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga joining us right here on the show. Miami and Clemson on Saturday, 3 o'clock. We'll be on the air at 2:30. We have a big, big second hour coming up on the show. We'll tell you about what's coming up right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.